You know, today we're going to talk about a subject that's really important. We're going to talk about feeding your mind. And you might be saying, okay, well, what does that have to do with what we've been talking about, George, with the struggle for joy and with the whole issue of pursuing godliness in my life and hanging on? And what does feeding my mind have to do with any of that? Because for so many of us, to be honest with you, don't really give any thought to it. In fact, I've got three thoughts I want to give you. Actually, two thoughts that I want to give you that really are important for us. Because to be honest with you, most of us, and I include myself, we operate in ignorance about how important it is concerning what we feed our minds with. I'm just going to be flat out honest with you. We're just plain ignorant. And you say, well, I'm not. Well, you might be surprised. Because we live in a world, just to be honest with you, today we live in a world, does everybody recognize that you are constantly being bombarded with information? Do you recognize that? It used to be we just had simple things that bombarded our mind, the radio or the TV, okay? And how many of you can remember that the only news you got on the TV was Walter Cronkite and the other two stations, if you could get those, in the afternoon for 30 minutes. You had the local news for 30 minutes, and then you had Walter on, okay, who was then replaced by Dan in the 70s. And that was it for news. Do you remember that? And the newspaper. And you couldn't read that on Sunday anyhow. You remember that now. You can't read the paper on Sunday. I don't know why you buy it then, but you couldn't read it. But now you're constantly being bombarded with images everywhere. In fact, have you noticed now that you go to some places, the billboard isn't just one screen, it switches on you. They're electronic, and so you see five billboards at one time while you're waiting in traffic. And so your phone is constantly giving you images, the internet, everything is, we're constantly being bombarded with information. Now that information, whether you realize it or not, affects you. And it's going to affect your spiritual life, which really tied into the whole issue of the struggle for joy. Because I'm going to propose to you that sometimes maybe the reason why we struggle in our Christian lives is because of what we feed our minds with. Did you hear what I said? That sometimes the reason why we struggle in our Christian lives and in our walk with Christ, and the reason why we don't have any joy in Christ is because of what we feed our minds with. And so I've got 2 points I want to make here, and I think they're very important. First of all, we deceive ourselves concerning what we input into our minds. We deceive ourselves concerning what we input into our minds. We deceive ourselves. I mean, if you ask the normal person, and you might raise a question like, are you sure you want to watch? Oh, I can handle it. Have you heard that one? I can handle it. I can handle that. You hear that statement, that may be an attitude that we have. Maybe, but you know what? This is the real world, George, and so I can handle that. Really? Can you? Can you handle it? I'm not asking you for sure. I want you to think about it. Can you handle it? What is the outcome of your decision there with what you're inputting into your mind? Did you understand what I'm saying? If you're constantly bombarding yourself with stuff, it's going to affect you. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Remember I told you that news used to be just 30 minutes. Remember that? Now, how much news can you get? A whole day. Now, I found it interesting. How many of you have ever, I think most of us have been in nursing homes, have we not, to visit loved ones and stuff? And if you go into a nursing home, have you noticed that the TV, they don't put news on the TV there. They don't switch to the news channel. In a nursing home. Have you noticed that? Never will you see that they're watching CNN, Fox News, MSNBC. You go to a nursing home, it is not on those three stations. Can anybody tell you why? Have you figured out why? Huh? Yeah, it affects the residents. It affects the residents. Because of the constant bombardment, let me ask you a question. Is news positive or negative? Negative. So if you're constantly being bombarded with negativity, that affects you. In fact, I've noticed that with people. You know, I used to listen to talk radio all the time. I can sit here and say I've weaned myself from that. I don't listen anymore. And can I tell you something? I noticed a change. I became less negative, less worried about stuff. And usually when I find somebody and they get so upset about how the nation is going and so worked up about this and they're so worked up about that, usually if you ask them, well, what are you listening to lately? They'll go off and name, well, I'm listening to CNN or I'm watching Fox News or I'm listening to this guy on the radio or that guy on the radio or I'm watching this show and I'm watching him and this and this. And you all of a sudden you begin to realize that what they're doing is that they're constantly bombarding themselves with what? Negative information. And it's affecting them, isn't it? It's affecting them. So how are the Steelers doing? Oh, they're doing great, but would you believe what Washington's doing? And they're not talking about the Redskins. Can't believe what Harrisburg's doing. Hello? Nothing's changed in 200 years. You're just more aware of it, and maybe we shouldn't be because of the negative effect of us. So the first thing is out of our ignorance is we deceive ourselves concerning what we input into our minds. And here's the other problem. Any caution concerning what we think about is not legalism. Any caution about what we think about is not legalism. Now, what I mean by that is this, because you could sit here and you say immediately, you know, okay, George, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but that's just legalism. You're trying to impose on me some sort of rule structure, and I have freedom in Jesus, and your concern about what we input in our minds, that's good, but that's just legalism. Any caution about that? And I agree, there was legalism in the past. You know, in the legalism in the past, I remember very clearly you weren't allowed to go to movie theaters. I remember very clearly you weren't allowed to go to the video store. I'll never forget. It's been a while since I shared this one. Some of you have never heard this story. I was a young college student involved with a college ministry there at the University of South Carolina. And on the weekends, we'd go to the video store. All the Christian kids would go to the video store and get a video and go back to the ministry house and watch a video. And that's a cool Friday night activity, right? And I remember one time being outside the video store getting ready to walk in. I look across the street in West Columbia and I see this old deacon go walking by from our church. And I'm a new Christian and I'm excited about my church and my church family. And I say, hey, Mr. Bogan, how you doing? And he's like, waves and goes on in. At that time, I was in the National Guard. So the next 2 weeks, I had to leave to go to Fort Knox, Kentucky. And then I came back the third week, and I'm in my church on a Wednesday night prayer meeting. And in my church, the way they used to do prayer meeting, they would divide the men and the women up and have prayer after the pastor gave his sermon. So I'm in this prayer circle, and there's Mr. Bogan. And this is what he said to me. Boy! What were you doing in that store over there? Now you gotta understand, this happened 3 weeks before. And I'm thinking, huh? Huh? What are you talking about, Mr. Bogan? You know what? I went over and I looked in the window of that store, boy, and no Christian young man should be going into a place like that. Then it dawned on me he was talking about the video store. And here's what he said next. What would the people in the world think if they saw you going into that store? Now, what you watch in the privacy of your home by cable, that's one thing. But you going into that store, that ain't good. Now that, folks, is what? Legalism. But here's the thing, though. We could look at a story like that and say, well, I have freedom. I can do whatever I want because I don't want to be bound by legalism. No, my friends, what you're talking about is the opposite of legalism, which is license. So when we talk about caution, about what you're thinking about, and that's what we're going to be talking about as we look at what Paul is saying here, we're not talking about legalism, we're not talking about license, going to one of those two extremes. We're going to talk about responsibility. You are responsible for what you put in your mind. And maybe part of the struggle that we have in our walk with Jesus has to do with what? What we're inputting into our minds. So I want you to notice, we're going to look on two verses here today. We're going to look at verse 8 of chapter 4 and verse 9. Look at what he writes. Finally, brethren, so he's kind of ending his discussion about this whole issue of persevering, about this whole issue of striving on for Jesus. Look at what he says. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You can also use the word think. Meditate or think on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Well, we can take these two verses, and what we're going to do is we're going to divide them into two sections. We're going to look at verse 8, and it's going to be the call to refocus. You and I need to refocus what we're filling our minds with. You and I need to refocus what we're inputting into our minds. Do you understand what I'm saying? We need to have a better attitude, and we're going to look at some things that he's going to tell us here. And then we're going to see the call to action. What am I going to do about that? So we're going to look at what we see, and we're going to see a test. We're going to see a test that you can apply to your life that's very practical about what you're inputting into your mind. About whether or not you're going to continue to listen to that radio show, or whether or not you're going to turn a certain program off on the TV. Not because you're being legalistic, but because you are concerned about what you're feeding your mind with for the journey that you have. So let's look. Let's talk about the call to refocus. Number one, the first thing I want you to see here is this. Look at what he says. Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue in anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Here's what I want you to see. First thing I want you to notice is you need to recognize that what you think about is important. What you think about is important. What you go throughout the day contemplating is important. Okay? It's important. Here's the other thing. Recognize the connection between your thoughts and your actions. Recognize that there is a connection between what you think and what you do. Do you understand what I'm saying? The center of your actions, the center of your life, according to Jewish and Old New Testament Christian thinking, is that out of the abundance of your heart, out of the abundance of your mind, you're going to act. You're going to respond to things. Do you understand? It's not just, it doesn't even have to be just an intentional act. It could be just simply a response. And the reason why you're responding the way you're responding is because you've conditioned your mind with a certain type of thinking. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you have to do something about that. And so the first thing you need to do is you've got to recognize that there is a connection. Now that's the problem, isn't it? Because in our world, we try to say that there is no connection between actions and what we input in our mind. Isn't that right? We try to say that there's no connections. But the reality is, I mean, do you guys realize how powerful media is? Visual images stimulate. Musical sound stimulates. Now, we're not going to get into the old 20-year-ago argument about what you listen to and whether or not that affects you. I'm not going to talk about that. Because I like heavy metal. I like classic rock, okay? So, I'm not going to talk about that. Nothing's changed. My playlist isn't going to change on my iPhone, okay? But I do need to be, what, thinking about what they're saying. Do you know what I'm saying? I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. I'm 48 years old. 30 years ago, what's now considered classic rock was rock. All right? And I remember just loving these songs and just enjoying the songs and just, I had, back then it was cassettes, folks, not CDs. I had cases of cassettes. George would take his money. I wish I had that money now. Okay? And a cassette back then was $6. All right? This is the early 80s. And I'd buy all these cassettes and I had a cassette player in my car and with Jensen speakers and everything. So, you know, I'd be listening to my music and I enjoyed my music. Now here's what's happened. I'm listening to the same songs now and I'm like, why did I enjoy that? I'll tell you why I enjoyed it. The music was good and I listened to the music, but I never paid attention to the words. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And as I get older now, because I know the music so well, I'm starting to listen to the words and I'm thinking, ooh, I don't agree with that. Ooh, that's not good. Ooh, that stirs up emotions. Ooh, I'm not wanting to drive the speed limit anymore. I mean, you can't put Sammy Hagar in, can't drive 55, and expect to go to speed limit, okay? Do you know what I'm saying? Our minds are filters for our actions. And you've got to recognize, listen, you've got to recognize, you can't downplay it. You've got to recognize the connection. So let me just stop for a moment. Is it possible that the reason why you're grumpy when you come home at night and short and snappy with people is because you've been listening to negative stuff all day, so negativity is just going to flow out of you and continue to flow out of you? Do you think there's a connection? It's important what we put our minds on. Here's the other thing he says. We need to saturate our minds with what is good and pure. We need to saturate our minds with what is good and pure. And look at the list he gives here. I think it's amazing what he says there. Look at, he just goes through a list here. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. You need to saturate your mind with these type of things. And then he gives us a criterion to determine what you should be inputting into your mind. So if you want to write these two down, they're right there in verse 8. Look with me. If there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, those are the two things. So you got to ask yourself a question. Is what I'm listening to fit into these two things? Is there any virtue in listening to what I'm listening to? Is there anything praiseworthy about what I'm watching or listening to? Do you understand what I'm saying? If you would just simply start asking those two questions, it will change what you input into your mind. Now, let me just stop for a moment. I need to clarify this so that you understand. I want everybody to look around the room here. Look at everybody here. Just kind of eyeball everybody. I know this is going to make some of you feel uncomfortable, but I want everybody just kind of make sure you eyeball everybody here, okay? Everybody eyeballing everybody? Okay. All right. Now, okay. Did you notice we don't all look alike? Brad says, thank goodness. They were saying that too, Brad, when they looked down here. I know, okay. All right. So, have you noticed we all look alike? I mean, you might have a beard. Everybody, you might have got a few folks here who've got a beard or trying to grow a beard. You notice that their beards aren't even alike? Okay? Have you noticed that even in the family that you're from, there might be some resemblance, but you're not alike? All right, let me just stop. I'm going to tell you something. Each one of you is different. We all recognize that, right? Now, when it comes to these two questions, what has virtue and what is praiseworthy, that's going to be different for each one of you. You need to write that down. You've got to remember that. When it comes to the issue of what is praiseworthy and what is virtuous, as far as what you're going to put in your mind, that's going to be different for each and every one of you. And when it becomes legalism is when I make my standard of virtue and praiseworthy the standard for the rest of you. Do you understand what I'm saying? The principle is that I need to judge what I'm inputting into my mind with the standard, is this virtuous for me? Is this praiseworthy for me? That's the standard. But when I impose my standard on you, that becomes legalism. Does everybody understand that? Because each one of you is different. Each one of you is at a different place in your life. Each one of you is a product of your own experiences. And so for some one person, it may not be good for that person, but for the other person, it's not an issue. Does everybody understand? So the greater principle is that I saturate my mind with what is virtuous and what is praiseworthy for my life. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the issue. So for some dude, years ago, he couldn't handle going to the movie house. Some preacher, so he decided, for the rest of you, you shouldn't go either. That's legalism. But what you need to do is look at what is it for you that you know that what I'm watching or listening to is not virtuous for me? You know what? I don't even have to tell you. You already know. For you, you know you've got to shut something down. The other thing, what is it that's praiseworthy? And then you deal with it. You deal with it. You know, I'll give you a personal testimony here. I do love rock music. I'll just be honest with you. If you want to leave because of that, I'm sorry, but that's just George, okay? And I love Name That Tune in the house. Play some song. I can usually know from my who it is that's playing old music, not new music. I can usually, from the 80s and the 70s, tell you who it is, okay? My kids, Lori, laugh at me because of that, okay? And so I did have on my iPhone lots of different groups that I enjoyed listening to. But here's what I had to came to the conclusion. I had to remove some of them off of my iPod, off my iPhone. Because while I enjoyed the music, it was having a negative effect on me. So here's what I did. I thought, it's not that important for me to be able to listen to it. It's more important for me to walk with God and to be what He wants me to be. So I eliminated them off of my phone because I couldn't handle it. Did you understand what I'm saying? Now, you notice the next Sunday I didn't get up there, you folks can't listen to this music. No, because that's legalism. We're not talking about legalism here. We're talking about what are you putting into your mind, and you know how it affects you, and you need to saturate your mind with what's good. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need to saturate your mind with what's good and what's pure. Why? Here's the next point of this section. There is a connection between your spiritual life and your thought life. Understand that. There is a connection between your spiritual life and your thought life. This is so important that you understand this. This is not just, where did you pull that out of the hat in that verse, George? You have to understand, I didn't pull it out of the hat. It is a theme that runs through the New Testament. What do you mean? Go all the way, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says this, Be not conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you will be able to prove what is the good and acceptable will of God. Some of you are here and you're saying, I really want to know what God wants for my life. I really want to know what His will is in this situation. Have you thought maybe you need to turn off what you're filtering into your mind so you can hear His voice? Because there's a connection between your spiritual life and what you feed your mind with. Maybe you're crowding out the still small voice of God in your life because you're flowing in all this other stuff. That's really the reason why I had to take those things out of my playlist, because it was clouding out what God was trying to say to me. Do you know what I'm saying? What are you feeding your mind with? And recognize, the Bible continually talks about what? Getting control of your mind, renewing your mind. So there's a call to refocus. So then here's what he tells us to do with it. We see it in verse 9. Look at what he says there again. These things which you have learned and you received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Here's what I want you to see. Number one, he's telling us to act upon what you have learned. Act upon it. What do you mean what we've learned, George? Look at what he says there. These things which you have heard, which you have seen in my life, he says. What's he talking about there? The things that I've taught you, the things that you have seen by my example, the Apostle Paul says, these things you need to do, basically for us because he's not here, his teaching, his word, that's what you renew your mind with, and then you act upon it. So many of us are just acting, whether we realize it or not, just by impulse about all the other stuff that we put into our minds. Isn't that true? Sometimes it's just reactive on our part. We need to consider. Consider what it is that's going through our minds. And here's what he tells us. When I do this, when I am focused on feeding my minds with the right things and I am acting upon that, here's what he tells us. And isn't this what we're striving for in our life? God's peace will be with you. God's peace will be with you. Isn't that what we're wanting? Isn't that what we're wanting? I mean, you think about it. I mean, just a simple test. If you just think about your life, and you think about the days in which you just got constantly bombarded with negativity, whether it was some news reports of what's going on around the world, or news that you were hearing in your family unit, or songs that you were listening to that day. Music is powerful. Don't you realize that? I'm not going to be legalistic about it, but you need to understand that music is a powerful vehicle. And you think about those days when you were being constantly bombarded with negativity. What were you like then? You don't need to tell me. I can almost guess. Because I know how I am. Because I become part of the bear family. You know, there's grizzly, black bear, brown bear, and George. Now, there's no hunting season on George now, okay? All right? But I can usually go back and I can usually trace what were the things that I was filtering into my mind that day. And I can tell you right now, there was no peace. Isn't that what we want? Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, nothing this world has to offer you, nothing that this world has to offer you will bring you a peace that surpasses all understanding. Act upon what you know. You say, okay, George, so what do we do about this? Well, two questions I want you to ask yourself. And again, these are not questions for you to just answer right now. I want you to think about them, wrestle with them during the week, pray about them. Are you defeated in your walk with Christ? You know where you're at. You know if you're disappointed with the way you are. You know if you're disappointed with these actions or these attitudes or whatever that's being expressed in your life. You know you're disappointed with certain things about your relationship with Jesus or your lack of relationship with Jesus. So ask yourself that question. Are you defeated? I mean, it's not something you need to sit there and say, oh, well, you know, I wonder if I'm not doing well in that area. You know. Because the Holy Spirit is telling you. He's telling you in your life that you're not doing well. So think about that. Be honest with Him. God, I'm not doing well. Here's the second question. You really need to wrestle with this one. I do not want you to think about it just for now. I want you to take it home and really ponder it. Have you considered what you're feeding your mind with? Have you considered what you're feeding your mind with? Hey, you know, we all have our favorite shows, right? We all have our favorite shows. But is it possible that your favorite show isn't doing you any good? Now, I don't know that. You know that. But see, we got to ask ourselves those kind of tough questions. Is it possible that your favorite album is not doing you any good? Is it possible that that favorite book that you like to read or that favorite newspaper article or internet article or blog that you like to read is not doing you any good? Is it possible? Have you considered the reason why that you are defeated right now? Part of it has to do with the fact of what you're feeding your mind with. I don't know what that is for you. And again, let me just say that. The issue for you may be completely different than what it is for somebody else. Because it doesn't have the effect on them that it has on you. So it's more about your own personal responsibility there. Have you considered what you're feeding your mind with? And I'll just be honest with you because I know where George is. I don't usually think about that because I'm just kind of going through the day with what I got to do for the day today and whatever comes on, whatever it is. Oh, hey, that's a groovy tune. Until you start listening, really listening, and you're like, ooh, wow, didn't realize that was there. Listen to it a gazillion times. Can I tell you who helped you realize it was there? The Holy Spirit. So here's what you got to do. Here's our action point. Ask the Spirit to help you to renew your mind. Ask the Spirit to help you to renew your mind. Your mind's got to change. How do I do that, George? How does He renew my mind? How does the Holy Spirit help me to renew my mind? There's only one way to renew your mind, folks. It's right here. You start reading it. I don't know where to begin, George. We've got Bible reading guides on the back table. If you've got the app, you've got no excuse. There's three different devotionals there that'll take you somewhere to read. But you begin to renew your mind. And I'll guarantee this, folks. If you start paying attention to what it is that you're filtering in your mind, if you're judging it by the two standards that he's giving us here, is it virtuous? Is it praiseworthy? And whatever it is in your life, if you start making the changes in your life, here's what you're going to find in your life that you've never had before. Peace. How do you know that, George? He said it would be there. Do I trust him? And you're going to notice that you're different. And you know what? How you're going to notice that you're different is because you're going to be different with other people. Because it'll come out of your actions. Something to think about, right? A lot to think about. Let's pray.